Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Hugh, thank you very much indeed for that. Now, the Metrolink project is chugging along, it seems, because after 6 weeks and submissions from 100, more than 120 parties, the oral hearings on the Dublin Metrolink project to Unbowered Planola finally came to an end today. The CEO of Transport Infrastructure Ireland, Peter Walsh, told the hearings that the project is essential to deliver a sustainable and accessible city, despite concerns from residents about the upheaval to, and in some case, removal of their homes. Olivia Kelly is the Dublin editor with the Irish Times, and she joins me now on the line. Olivia, you're very welcome to the programme. Who was there today at the closing to give closing remarks at the oral hearings?
Well, Peter Walsh actually spoke for the first time. Obviously, Transport Infrastructure Ireland are the proponents and of the scheme and the people who will be developing the line. So people from Transport Infrastructure Ireland have been there every day, but this was Peter Walsh's first appearance. Then there weren't a huge amount of people there. Like, obviously, as you said, there are 120 people have addressed the hearing over the 6 weeks. They didn't all come at the end, although they could have all come and made final submissions, mm-hmm. but just a very small number of people did.
Okay, so Peter Walsh saying this is essential, as we heard. Over the course of the hearings, though, Olivia, was there much opposition to this?
Oh, there was, yes. Now, Peter Walsh would play that down, and he would say that while people had concerns or some criticisms of the project, that largely people were supportive of the metro. Now, a lot of people would have said that in their submissions, but their concerns, in terms of householders, it was generally in relation to their properties. Now, some of those householders are people whose properties are going to be demolished altogether. But other people, and these were possibly people who were more upset during the course of the hearing than people whose homes were actually being demolished. And these are people who were facing into years of station construction mm-hmm. directly outside their doors. And some of them, were in tears and left the hearing. And, it's a big deal for people. You can see why, and you can also see as well why they've been built. This metro has been promised for so long. They've known for maybe since 2018 that it's very likely to be constructed outside their homes. So it's a big, long build-up for people.
And hanging over them,
You can see how it's overwhelming for them.
What was the issue then raised in relation to St. Stephen's Green?
Yes, so there were lots of people raising issues in relation to St. Stephen's Green. There's a cohort of people who want the metro to stop there, for that to be the terminus, for it not to run on to Charlemont, which is the current Lewis stop just north of Ranelagh. We think if it stopped in St. Stephen's Green, that would be great, because in future then, if we were doing a southern extension of the line, it would give a far wider variety of places than it could go to. Mm-hmm. Then there are other people who don't want to go near the green at all. Now, among that, you'd have to say, is the Office of Public Works, which doesn't like the plans for the green, in that they don't want the digging up of the green, they don't want railings removed, statues moved to a different part in the green. They don't want interventions in the green. And they made that clear during the hearing, as did the Heritage Council.
Okay.
Then there'd be other people who just think it shouldn't really go as far as the green, that maybe it shouldn't go into the sort of core of the city centre at all. It should stop in O'Connell Street. And then people, can go on from there to where, they get it off at a metro on O'Connell Street. But of course, they're in the city centre, so they've far greater range of options of what sort of transport they take to go on somewhere.
So we've had a long process then of oral hearings. But I believe there was talk today, and people expect a decision now soon, but there was talk today that the oral hearings might have to reopen, Olivia. Is that right?
Well, people may not. If people are expecting a decision soon, they're going to be sorely disappointed.
Really?
Well, it's such a huge volume of information that the board inspectors now have to go through. It was never going to be a quick decision. Like, we were always looking at the end of this year at its best, but maybe into next year. But yes, so during the hearing, Transport Infrastructure Ireland would have submitted a lot of extra documentation. Okay. And people would have raised this as an issue during the hearing. They'd say, hey, I'm making my submission today, but I haven't had a chance to read this additional documentation. Mm-hmm. So in recent days, the board has made a decision that Transport Infrastructure Ireland should put that stuff, that new documentation, back out for a fresh round of public consultation. And while that'll mean it'll be advertised, people will be able to go and look at these documents, and they'll be given probably 6 weeks to make any more submissions they might like to make. But there's a chance the board could look at the submissions that come in and say, oh, actually, we need more oral hearings on this.
Do you know what? Yeah. Do you know what I'd say to that? Do you know what I'd say to that? We had Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine waiting for a bus in Selbridge yesterday. I'm just glad they're not waiting for the Metrolink, because based on what you're saying, they'd be waiting an awful long time. Can you stay with me for a
while? Right.
Can you stay with me, Olivia, for a second? Because I have Ian Carey, who's a Green Party councillor for Swords, on the line as well. Ian, you're very welcome. You're going to tell me when we're going to get a decision on this.
Well, hopefully very soon. You know, the time for talking about this project, I feel, has to come to a close, and we need to get it built. I mean, there's been 2 decades of preparation for Metrolink, and many people that I represent have lost faith in the ability of governments to deliver on this project. And I think we need to move forward. Like, the inspector, yes, needs to put this stuff out to the public, take on board written submissions, but he needs to start working day and night to deliver this, his recommendation to the board, and the board needs to convene and get this through planning quickly so we can move to the delivery phase.
What do you say, Ian, though, to the residents from your area that express concern about the project, the disruption and so on?
Yeah, look, I have sympathy with people who are going to be severely disturbed by the project. You know, it's going to take over parts of their green for a number of years, or maybe they have concerns about how the layout will be after. But, like, ultimately, the wider community is going to benefit massively from this project. And actually, lots of those households, in a number of years' time, they will benefit the most. A lot of them will be within walking distance of a station.
If it's built within their lifetime at this stage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, all these projects, they take time, you know, 7 to 10 years to deliver this something on this scale. But we have to accept that major projects cause disruption. And I think we have to move forward with this. It's the only way to really resolve the issues.
Some even, I'm sure, someone like Duncan Stewart, who you would hold in high regard, has commented about this project. He's saying it's potentially damaging to the environment.
Yeah, look, I saw the comments from Duncan, and you know, embedded carbon, which he's pointing to in relation to this project, is something that we need to consider. Like, we need to consider the impact of embedded carbon in housing, road construction, etc., and even in projects like this. But when you're considering the impact of embedded carbon, you have to look over the lifetime of the entire project. And, like, if we consider how long this kind of infrastructure is going to be in place and be useful to the city, like, you know, if we take Glasgow, you know, their subway opened in 1896
It's
thriving and still going.
Changed.
Like,
you can't compare, can you? I mean, that carbon activity is done and dusted, and the embedded carbon has been released. So we're now left with a choice in Dublin, aren't we? Some would say, as to, number one, if it's necessary to release the embedded carbon, if it's necessary to release the carbon that we would be caused due to activity, the disruption to people's homes, the impact on the climate, the cost of it. People are questioning the necessity of this. Can you reassure people on all of those points?
Yeah, like, I understand when it comes to carbon emissions, when this is operational, it'll be carbon neutral. And that's something that we need to seriously consider. Like, if we think about the future of Dublin, like, a lot of the other things that people are pointing to, like increasing rail systems, if we look at the national planning framework, we have to deliver half of the homes within the footprint of the existing city into the future. And that's about increasing densities. We're going to need all those transport links, and we're going to need the space, like in our streets, for walking, cycling, public realm improvements to make Dublin a better city to live in into the future.
So when it's operational,
and, you know, Metrolink
it'll be
is
carbon,
a key part of that.
When it's operational, it'll be carbon neutral, you say. When will that be? When will it be operational?
Well, right now they're saying 2034. So that's, you know, that's obviously once they go, timeline for delivery, I am absolutely confident that this will be delivered. I mean, if we look at what's put down, this government is the first government to really put delivery money behind the project. Yeah. Like this, the money for preparation only accounts for a fraction of the overall cost. The real spend is that delivery phase.
What's
and
your
in the National
based
Development
on,
Plan to 2030. Well, the money is there. Like the National Development Plan to 2030 has allocated the 5 billion. And then in the second phase, the rest of the money will be accounted for there. Like,
well,
I mean, that is a major chunk of money.
If you want a project delivered on time and within budget, and you raise a question, look at the Children's Hospital.
Yeah, look, the government has learned from the Children's Hospital to some degree. Like, cost overruns are going to be a factor in any major construction project. But, you know, like the Department of Public Expenditure has brought in new checks and balances, particularly like external major project advisory groups to look at and to tease through these projects. And I think that's going to have a major impact on the likes of Metrolink.
How much will this cost?
Well, I mean, the budget pre-planning that there was laid out a range between 7 billion and 12 billion. And, you know, the 9.5 that we hear about is kind of the midpoint in that.
Okay.
I think that's a credible range. Like, it is a unique project for Ireland, but not a unique project in the context of the world. So these things get delivered and we need to move forward, deliver it, get it built for Dublin, get it built for the people on the north side.
Okay. In a word, Olivia Kelly, 9.5 billion by 2034. Will you put your house on it that it'll be done by then?
I think it could be. I think it could be by the mid 2030s. Let's not put
I don't hear keys jangling, Olivia. Look, we'll leave it there for the moment. Olivia Kelly, Dublin editor with the Irish Times, and Ian Kerry, Green Party councillor for Swords. Thank you both.